Tonight. Still a rather interesting dream. And in this dream, I was getting some food that I wanted to eat. But there was something not too proper about what I was about to eat. I can't give you the details of it. And I put this food in a plate, put it in a microwave. Shut the microwave door, turned it on, got heated. And just before I got to the door to get this food, the microwave, through some slot, shut it out and fell. I couldn't eat that. Twice I did it. And I woke up and I said, okay, let me analyze the fullness of this dream I just had. It dawned on me. This food was food that I should not have been eating. But I was trying not to waste the food, and therefore was trying to eat it anyway. But God was protecting me. And so even though I had done everything that I normally would do to get the food ready, he was spitting it out. You shouldn't touch that. That's not good. That's not good. I'm praying tonight for somebody, that God will not allow you to do the wrong thing. And after you've done everything and put everything together, that if it is the wrong thing, that God will spit it out so that you don't do it. God will protect you, protect me, protect us from wrong decisions in life. I guess it's okay. I'll make it work. If it is not God's will, let it be spat out so that it's obvious to you, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that's not for you. You see, in that dream, the first time it spat it out inside a garbage bin. And I don't like to say it this way. I was still trying to go and get it. It just fell into the garbage. It's not that bad. Let me get it anyway. How terrible is that? In the natural, I won't do that. And a friend of mine said, Pastor, you know you shouldn't take that out of there. I said, yeah, you shouldn't take it out of there. So I got another set, put it in this microwave in a higher level, but it spat it out from there too. You will not make any mistakes. God's hand is upon your life and will not let you go in the wrong way. I believe that's why the Lord showed me that dream. It may not be me, because I don't see myself making those kind of decisions. And as I stood here just a moment ago, that dream flooded my spirit again. I said, why is this dream coming up now? So you can share it with somebody and pray for somebody. Might be one person, might be two. But whoever you are, myself included, no wrong decisions because of God's power working on our behalf to protect us from evil. Be protected from evil. Be protected from that which is not right for you, for your family, for your spirit, soul, and body. Be protected to the utmost. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Praise God. Come with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter 3. We have been sharing about this particular passage. And we covered verse 9 and 10, but I'm going to take it from there. There's a mystery, the Word of God says. And He says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the fellowship? The word is the word koinonia. The fellowship. That same word koinonia is also can be translated as partnership. An intense, committed partnership. Not a partnership where you're a partner just for the profit, but a partner through and through. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or the partnership, the connection of the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. In essence, God is bringing us into a revelation of something that we've not experienced before, or known before. A God who created all things by Jesus Christ. How did He create all things by Jesus? By the Word. So this mystery is a mystery that brings us into a place where we become involved in the creative partnership that is in God. Let's go a little bit further. Why is this? To the intent, there's a purpose, that now, I thank God for that word now, that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. That's a remarkable statement. There's an intent behind this fellowship. There's a purpose behind it. What is it? That the manifold wisdom of God will be made clear to the ecclesia, the church. What is the ecclesia, the church? Good question. The ecclesia was not just a spiritual word. It was a governmental word. So you had an ecclesia, which was like the Senate or Congress, a body that governs. A body that governs. What is the church? The church is a governing body. Ah. Are you serious? Yes, the church is a governing body. Oh, wait a minute. Come on. You should know this. And the government shall be upon his what? Shoulders. Jesus is the head. The church is his body. Guess what? The shoulder is part of the body. Ah. But we are showing forth the government of God by running around with people, but unto principalities and powers, that we are in charge. Principalities and powers are what is are the forces that are running the control of the natural governance of this world. And God says, I've got manifold wisdom. It's not the wisdom of this world. It supersedes the wisdom of this world. That when the world is doing their thing, I, God, through my church, I will be doing my thing. I will override. Oh my God. How much power do we have that we've left on the table, child of God? How much wisdom do we have that we've left at the table and we're letting the tail wag the head? May God, the God of heaven, help us come alive and become very, very aware of who we are, to whom we belong, and what we are about. He says, occupy till I come. And we're busy sitting down, running like little rats pursued by some cat. We got to know who we are. We are not ordinary people. Paul says, how is it that you're fighting with each other and acting like men? In other words, you're acting like you're just ordinary people. No, you're not ordinary. I'm not ordinary. We are created in the image and the likeness of God, empowered by God, alive by resurrection life, and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. And we will be very aware of who we are. And we're going to act exactly like we ought to, because the Spirit of God will help us. Just like God in the Spirit was shooting out what I should not eat, shooting it off, so shall God shoot out of my life and out of your life any kind of action, attitude, mindset that does not belong. The power of God shall override every natural-minded thinking. So we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel like running all over this place. How is this wisdom of God? It says it is according to the eternal purpose. There is an eternal purpose. That means this was the purpose of God before you and I got here. And after we leave here, it is still his purpose. It has not changed. It's an eternal purpose. It's a permanent thought.
which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And if it is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, it is only going to be retrieved and connected to by those who are in Christ Jesus. The interface between us and God is in Christ Jesus. We receive this mind in Christ Jesus, not by thinking in the ways of the world, but thinking like God thinks. What does God want to do? What does he want to accomplish? And recognizing that principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world that are trying to subjugate us or stop what we want, that those principalities and powers crash, flee. We resist the devil and he flees from us. Hallelujah. So, Father, this day in the mighty name of Jesus, we take our rightful place and we declare that whatever the enemy has put into motion that does not align with your perfect purpose, your eternal purpose for your church, Lord, oh God, as your governing body, we declare, oh God, that those things are illegal, and we declare, oh God, that those powers, those forces of darkness, those principalities, those rulers of the darkness of this world, those spiritual wickedness operating are now brought under judgment by the authority of the word of God. There is clearance for the preaching of the gospel. And Lord, oh God, anything trying to block your people from carrying this gospel of the kingdom right across the world, Lord, oh God, this day we scatter and destroy them. Lord, oh God, trouble the one who wants to trouble your church in Jesus' mighty name. Every legislation that Satan wants to put into motion in corporations, in government, in school divisions, Lord, oh God, whatever systems the enemy wants to move with to create obstacles, today, oh God, we uproot every single one of them and we burn them with the fire of the living God. God, you are a consuming fire. We destroy all of their documentations, all of their plans. In the mighty name of Jesus, so it is done by the authority of your everlasting word. Amen. Now it is in Christ, it is in him that we have boldness. See, that word boldness there is a Greek word that addresses the ability of a person to eloquently declare what he or she wants without fear. So we are bold when we begin to speak things that are not based on natural mindsets and saying it as a matter of fact. Hallelujah. I know that the devil will want to create in the world system. They will really like to create whatever it is, their vaccination passports or clearance or whatever. We say no. That those demonic forces that are trying to do that to hinder people from moving around, and this is not all they are planning on doing or want to do. Because the plan, this whole nonsense that's happening in our world right now is just to control people and get mindsets so locked down that we become dysfunctional. what the world, the powers of darkness want to do in the days to come. You see, we talk about climate change and all of this nonsense. Well, what they would really like to do next is to move you and I to a place when they start say, well, there's climate change, therefore we're going to ration how long you're going to drive and whatever, how much time you can spend burning that stuff in your house and so on and so forth, just to control people. The devil's a liar. Today, I send the word of God as a torpedo, as an evil-seeking missile. I release it against the plans of the enemy. I torpedo all of their plans and render it useless. It's not time for those nonsense. When Father says it's okay for that kind of nonsense to take place, it will be then, but not yet. You have no right. You powers of darkness, principalities and powers, I address you by the authority of the word of God. Your plans are torpedoed. You are exposed. And your stronghold is destroyed. The power of God is against you. The Lord God Almighty is against you. Satan, you and your cohorts, you are defeated. It says, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness. We have boldness to speak the word of God without fear. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. The word of God says we're wrestling against principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. The word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Every stronghold that the enemy has placed in the minds of people. This day we dismantle those strongholds, for we declare that the strong man is bound. You're defeated. But we now have boldness and we have access. We have access. We have entrance. And we do so with confidence. How? By the faith of him. Not by my faith. Everything I'm declaring right now, I don't declare by my faith. I declare by the faith of the Most High God. I declare it by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, who subdued all things. For at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow. And every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the things in the heavens, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth. You know, man may have lots of money and think he can do this and do that. There was once upon a time in Nebuchadnezzar who thought he was all of that. Then there was a Hitler who thought, I'm all of that. There was a Herod who was speaking and so powerful, oh, there's a God. Eating alive. By one, just one angel, just one angel, just one angel. And all this foolishness stops. Just one. Angels of the living God, you are sent to help the saints. We declare you dispatched now to begin to unravel the wills of these so-called somebodies, unravel their wills, drown them in the Red Sea.
In Jesus' name, go.
We move by the faith of Him. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, it is Christ that lives in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we live by His faith. Jesus said, have faith in God, or have God's kind of faith, and you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. That's right. So we have confidence by the faith of Him. Our boldness is by the faith of Him. Our access is based on the faith of Him. Our confidence by the faith of Him. Wherefore, because of that, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you. That's a very interesting concept. It says, I'm asking you not to faint because of my tribulation, the pressure, the afflictions that I've been going through, the anguish, the persecution that I'm going through. He says, I'm going through it for you, but for you it is for your glory. It is for your glory. It is so that you can come into all that God has for you. Sometimes men and women of God go through all kinds of things, but it is for the benefit of the body. I know there are times when I go through things and I battle through things, you know, and sometimes I come and I will talk to people, I'll tell the saints, this is a battle I went through, you know, and this is taken care of, and therefore this is the kind of result you should expect, and so on and so forth. But there have been times that I've gone through some things, and I'll come to you and I'll say, you know what? There's a storm coming. This one's a big one. And I can fight this battle for you. You got to fight this one yourself. So get ready, because it's coming. Wise people listen to the instruction and they take on the word of God. Because we are always equipped. The word of God says, put on the whole armor of God. If there's no battle, if you're never going to face a battle, there'll be no reason to put on the whole armor of God. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. And we won't talk about this when we come to chapter 6, the belt of truth, the shoes of preaching the gospel. Take on the shield of faith by which you quench every fiery dart of the enemy. Have the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. And take the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Why do you have to get dressed for war if there is no real battles? But there are some battles that are fought on your behalf. Not only by the Lord, but through His apostles and prophets. And the result is that you receive glory, you receive benefits, you receive breakthroughs. But this is where it gets really interesting. You know, I can be doing a lot of battling for you and winning a lot of battles for you by moving in faith and walking in faith and presenting myself in the presence of the Lord to hear what God is saying, but you're getting the benefit. And this is where saints sometimes miss out. While they are getting the benefits, they think, I'm so much better than him. What is he struggling for? Meanwhile, God wants you to come alongside of that man or that woman of God and stand by them and be a blessing to them, encouraging them with whatever
means a ways that God has made available to you. We help each other. Amen? He says, because of this glory that is bestowed upon you and the tribulations that have gone through on your behalf, he says, for this cause, what cause? That the glory of God is manifest in you. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I bow my knees unto the Lord, unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Oh, this is interesting. When we talk about the whole family in heaven and earth, we're talking about the same thing, but we're talking about something also different. The Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, but you and I also know that we are here in the earth. There is the me in the heavens, and there's the me in the earth. The me in the heavens is named by God. The me in the earth is named by God. So that's me there, that's me here. But the me in the heavens and you in the heavens create a family. That family is a family of God. And we're named by Him. We have His name on our lives. While I'm sharing this with you, I'm reminded of a dream I had many years ago. I'm sure it's close to 20 years plus. I was in a situation where there was this albino python, a white, big snake, and was circling me, limiting my ability to move. So I'm there thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with this thing? All of a sudden, I saw myself in the heavens. That's the real me. Saw myself in the heavens. And from the heavens, I shot a laser beam, a light beam, some kind of a weapon. While that was happening, I saw myself battling with the enemy. I had this beautiful, shiny armor on. Oh, wow. Was that thing ever beautiful? Shiny, really bright. And then I saw the devil. He had black, but his black was really shiny, just like my shoes. Just shiny. And we're going. And the Lord says to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm fighting. He says, you're going to do that until you wear yourself out. I said, what am I supposed to do? He said, send my word as an evil-seeking missile. He says, and by the way, this sword is supposed to pierce. It's like a dagger. So I saw myself. I saw this laser being shot. Remember, I'm talking about two dreams going together at the same time. And that laser being
hit me.
And I saw flesh all over the place. The flesh I saw was that python that was just, that I shot, and the flesh of it was all over the place. And I thought, oh, I killed myself. I said, I've killed myself. Yeah, look, I'm still alive. The snake is gone. And I see the devil. I beheaded him. And he grabbed his head and was running away. Said, I'm going to come back and fight again. I said, you come back, I kill you again. And I woke up. I said, Lord, what was that? Why is it that I shot myself and I did not die? He said, you are of the same kind. You're the same kind. That weapon cannot kill you because you are made of the same kind. You're light and it cannot kill you. Ah, you see, you are in the heavens and you are in the earth at the same time. That's the reason I'm telling you that. It's a weird dream, I know. But you are in the heavens and you're in the earth at the same time. And you in the heaven needs to cooperate with the you in the earth. The you in the earth needs to cooperate with the you in the heavens. And what is the one in the heavens doing? It is going boldly into the presence of God. And what is you in the earth doing? By faith, you're doing the same thing. I know this sounds very weird, I know. But the things of the Spirit are spiritually discerned. Just understand this. You're in the heavens and you're in the earth at the same time. Capish? Okay. How do I help you? Come with me to John 3. I think that's where it is. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Okay. I'll take it from I'm in chapter 1. That's why I'm not seeing what I'm looking for. John chapter 3. This is a passage where the Lord Jesus Christ is talking to Nicodemus. And hear this statement of the Lord so you grasp what the Lord is saying. He says in I'll take it from verse 12. He says, if I have told you earthly things, he's talking to Nicodemus, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And then verse 13 says, and no man, remember now, this is early in the ministry of the Lord. He says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven. No man hath ascended up to heaven. Now we know his ascension is going to happen at the time after he died and rose again from the dead. But he says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, while I'm talking to you right now, Nicodemus, I'm in heaven. You get it? Yeah. Jesus is here on the earth, but is in heaven at the same time. At the same time. And you are in heavenly places right now. Many years ago, I was in in Nigeria. We'd gone there to do some a mass crusade, and I'd come into my hotel room, and all of a sudden I had an attack. All of my body immediately was like somebody with a billion pins poking at every part of my body. I was in major pain. And Mama was laying down, and I'm going, and she says to me, "You take care of it, or you'll be there. The enemy's attacking you, and you're there, you know. Oh, I'm in pain." I said, I said to the Lord, I said, "She's not about to help me." "What am I supposed to do now?" And the Lord says, "Where are you seated?" "Oh, I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And I said, "I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And as soon as I said that, stopped. I had gone far above, and all of that attack from the evil forces that were trying to attack me right there could not reach me. Now it was my turn to return fire. And sure I did. I began to declare fire on the powers of darkness that had come to attack me. The reason I come here and I'm spending time on this is for you and I to remember this, that we are not just earthlings. We're not just here in this realm. You're in two realms at the same time, two dimensions. This earthly realm and a spiritual realm. Let's go back to Ephesians 3. When we recognize that, it changes our perspective on how we deal, on what we accept around us. It says, "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." We are named. "That he," that Father, "will grant you." I say grant. It's not a loan. It's a grant. "Will grant you according to the riches," the abundance, the wealth, that word there that's translated riches can be translated as wealth. "The abundance of his glory," the riches of his glory, "to be strengthened according to the riches of his glory," all that he is, "that you be strengthened with might." How? "By his spirit in the inner man." Now, this is very interesting. What is this inner man? The inner man. Are you listening? Good. The inner man is your spirit man. That spirit man, that inner man, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That inner man is here present inside of you, but it is the same inner man that is in the heavenlies. Inner man. Remember that you are crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. You died, but your inner man is the essence that is connected to Christ, the risen Lord, who now lives inside of you. That inner man has a voice. It has its eyes. It has hearing. It is those that particular aspect of you that hears and sees beyond the natural. And that inner man needs to be strengthened with might according to the riches of his glory. That is the glory that you and I lost, but now is reinstated. So now you can say, boldly say, I am glorified in God. I am glorified in God. Now, everything that we accomplish in this realm, we accomplish by the language of faith, which is a language that is spoken. You've got to say what you are in Christ Jesus. You say what you are in Christ Jesus. Forget about what your natural body is trying to do. You supersede it by saying what you are in Christ Jesus. You're righteous in Christ Jesus. You're holy in Christ Jesus. You are anointed and powerful in Christ Jesus. You are healthy in Christ Jesus. And that confession of faith overrides your natural tendencies. That's how you live your life in faith. And that faith is by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, who strengthens that inner man. Now, this inner man that is being strengthened gets strengthened for a purpose. It says to us that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oops. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. What does that mean? That means that if your inner man is not strengthened, Christ cannot dwell in your heart by faith. How is this inner man strengthened? By meditating on the Word of God so that you know who you are in Christ. You have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, inner man. How do you get renewed in the spirit of your mind? By meditating on the Word of God so that you do not stand and then sit with the scornful, with the wicked, someone. We won't take it up from this verse 17 next week. But someone says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Why is he not walking under the counsel of the ungodly? We'll find out in a moment. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Why is he not standing in the way of sinners? We'll find out in a moment. Nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Walking, standing, sitting. That's progressive. What is he doing? But his delight is in the law of the Lord, or the word of the Lord. And in his law or word doth he meditate day and night. You thinking, you chewing on the Word of God. And in chewing on the Word of God, you become more like what you are eating. God, embrace the Word of God. Receive the Word of God. Believe the Word of God. See that whatever God says, whether you can physically, emotionally, or otherwise comprehend it. You say, well, God, you said it. I believe it. I receive it by faith. God says, be ye holy. That's not just a command for you to walk in holiness. When he said, light be, light became. When God says, be ye holy, you say, I am holy. What God says, I am.
Let the weak say, I am strong. You say, I'm strong, even though your body says weak. I'm rich, even though your finances say poor. You say, what God's word says, what God said, that's what I believe, that's what I am. I have become what God's word says I am. That's how you strengthen your inner man. And it's founded on this reality. I am loved by God. God wants the best for me. And I'm going to be everything God says I am. I'm not going to allow my natural experience to tell me otherwise. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Psalm 103. I'll wrap up with that. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. That's part of your inner man. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. It's the God who's forgiveth. He's forgiven you all thine iniquities, all of the wrong patterns and things that you do. All of that is forgiven. And who healeth all thy diseases? Who healeth all thy diseases? I am healed of every disease. I'm forgiven of every iniquity. That's what you say. That's how you strengthen your inner man. Who redeemed our life from destruction. I'm redeemed from every kind of destruction. And I'm crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. My mouth is satisfied with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. I'm a young man. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I got a notification from the government that They said that I can apply for old age security or whatever it is. I looked at the mirror and said, No kidding. I'm a young man. Don't you think so? You better say, I'm young. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Looking fresh, looking good, looking strong, your mind is sharp. Everything about you is orchestrated perfectly, everything moving harmoniously, because your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's right. Look at what else it says, verse 6. Since the Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that oppressed. You feel oppressed? God is executing righteousness for you, right standing for you, and justice for you. Embrace that. Embrace it. And this, I'm going to stop here in verse 7. It says something here that's very interesting. It says, he made known his ways unto Moses. And that's what we want. We want to know the ways of God, not just his acts. I want to know how this happens, because when I know how this thing happens, I can do it at will. I don't just want to be somebody who's receiving stuff and don't know how it was made or how it came about. I want to be able to reproduce it. I want to be able to do it. And God wants to take you and I to that place where we know that we know that we know at all times. And no matter what happens, you can reproduce whatever it is you need to reproduce. God grant us this grace and empower us to fulfill his divine mandate
all of our days, to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, bless you, saints. I thank God for you. I thank God for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you tonight. And I know that the Lord has been with us. At this time, I want to challenge you to honor God with your giving. I know there was some challenge with one of email addresses, donation@gloryandpeace.com, but it is corrected now. Some of you may have had difficulty in making your donation available. Remember about 3 or 4 weeks back, I'd mentioned about an attack of the enemy on finances. And lo and behold, God exposed what it was. At the time that was happening, the enemy was doing something, and it had to do with that donation at Glory and Peace. So that actually some of the donations that should have been coming through that particular port wasn't coming through. And, you know, the enemy was trying to shut down things, but thank God it was exposed. We found it out, and everything is now corrected and moving smoothly. So we give God praise. So please do use that particular email or the info@MikeZeno Ministries. Of you here in Canada, that's the way for you to give. And others can go to the website and use the website. Just use the donation button on the website, and you can give through that medium. Or just send a letter or drop it in the mail. But whatever you do, just do something. Honor God with your giving. And as you do so, His promise is He will open the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings upon you. God is a good God. I can only just say, I am experiencing Him in new ways, experiencing new things in Him, and daily I'm excited about His goodness. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that'll be it for tonight, but be reminded on Friday is a prayer service, and then of course Sunday morning and Sunday evening. I understand for Sunday morning we allowed 25 people in the main sanctuary, 25% or 25 people, the maximum of 25. But for us, we have two addresses, so that means we can have 50 people, 25 here and 25 in the other address. So we'd like to see your lovely faces back here in the house of the Lord on Sunday. And we'll let you know what will be happening Sunday evening. And finally, we have a conference coming up. Thank God for the ones that we've had so far. But the 7th, that'll be the 6th conference. Other than January, where we had a whole month of, I guess you might say, a whole month of conference, but 6 very specific conferences. This one is going to be July 21st to the 23rd. If you may, show us the poster, the promo poster, and do take note of that. Set that date aside, and do please, if you want to have particular answers on spiritual warfare, questions that you may have that you like addressed, we're going to have one day of just questions and answers on spiritual warfare. And our guest will be answering I and Mama will be answering, and we'll try to answer your questions, and so that you know the ways, not just the acts, know the ways. Amen? All right. So that's coming up, and be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Do we have the promo sheet? I don't see it up. It's not there. Promo poster, please. I don't say they must be having some kind of difficulty. Anyhow, there it is. Finally, as a spiritual warfare, it is raining. Let it rain. Spiritual Warfare Conference 2, let it rain. So we'll have